It's a good thing that Saddam was captured, hiding in a hole just like a rat would. Now they're saying that the war went on because their intelligence was wrong. Was the reason for war based on lies and corruption? Where are the weapons of mass destruction?
Good afternoon, America. Welcome to the Mark Levine's Inside Scoop. This is your host, Mark Levine, and you can tell from that special music that today is Tuesday, which every week on the Inside Scoop is Election Tuesday, where we talk about Bush, we talk about Kerry, we talk about what is going to happen, what should happen, the politics of happening, everything, every Tuesday, until that very first Tuesday in November, when hopefully we, as the song says, that's Donnie Daly's song from Los Angeles, when we kick out the Republicans. And I want to hear from you today because I want to talk about this amazing stuff going on where the focus is not so much on today, but on 30 years ago, 35 years ago, really, talking about the war in Vietnam. Now, I remember when I was first talking with Republicans about John Kerry, and a number of them said to me, well, you know, we really shouldn't talk about Vietnam. I'll make you a deal. You don't talk about Kerry's service in Vietnam, and we won't talk about Bush's service. And I always thought that was hilarious, because obviously, John Kerry is a thrice-decorated war veteran. He is a guy who truly risked his life. He used to pilot a what they called a swift boat. It wasn't too swift in the Mekong Delta. It was actually kind of a ruse. He'd go down the river and kind of pull out shots from the Viet Cong. It's the kind of thing where some 75% of people that ran those boats got wounded. And he notoriously, very clearly, risked his life for his country for a war that he didn't even think was that great an idea. And then, of course, you have Bush, who fully supported the war as long as other people fought it, got in the National Guard with special privileges, and then didn't even have the decency to show up when he was ordered by the military to show up for a physical exam. Didn't want to take it. Physical exam included a drug test. We can understand why he wouldn't want to take it. But in any case, what my question is today is I'm surprised that they're even bringing this up, aren't you? I mean, like I said, Republicans would say, well, we won't bring up Kerry's Vietnam service, and you don't have to bring up Bush's service. And I think actually, I mean, at the time they said that, I thought it was really funny. I think that because it's obvious the difference in service, and I thought they would avoid the issue of Vietnam. Given it just doesn't make Bush look good by comparison. But what happened? What happened last week? We actually see the Republicans, in their arrogance, bring up Vietnam, actually condemn Kerry's actions in Vietnam. I mean, it's amazing to me the arrogance of the Republicans. First, of course, there's what happened in 2002. You have veteran Max Cleland, who lost three limbs. He lost an arm and two legs in Vietnam, and they attacked him as weak on Homeland Security and used that to win that election in 2002. And now they're talking about John Kerry. They're talking about, oh, did he throw ribbons or did he throw medals? What did he throw when he protested the Vietnam War? And it's amazing to me. You know, I never think that the arrogance of the Republican Party can be exaggerated. And then they just go one better. They actually somehow claim that Bush was more patriotic in the Vietnam era than John Kerry. A man who supported the war but wanted others to die for it is somehow more patriotic than a man who didn't support the war but went and fought for it anyway. Can anyone explain this? I want to hear from you. I want to know why you think the Republicans are raising this issue. Isn't it a clear loser for them? I don't even get it. And I'm someone that's, I follow politics a long time. I'm very close to following politics. I would think the Republicans want to stay as far away from this issue as they possibly could. But they actually think they can show their guy as more of a hero in Vietnam? What do you think? The number is 877-57-SCOOP, 877-57-SCOOP. You can also email me by sending an email to Mark, M-A-R-K, at RadioInsideScoop.com. What I want to know from you is, do you think that, well, first of all, do you think Vietnam's relevant? I think that there are many that argue that it's really not relevant. You know, it wasn't relevant in the Clinton era, and it's not relevant now. But I think actually it does show something about the character of these two men running for president. I think it's very clear that here you have one guy, our current president, right? And he really does what he's always done in his life. He uses all his privilege, all his power, his father and all of them get him into places that he couldn't ordinarily get into, right? When George Bush took his pilot aptitude test, it was a multiple choice test. And it was A, B, C, D. There were four questions on each test. And there were 100 questions. He got 25 out of 100 right. That's the minimum level. Now, a monkey filling it out would also get 25 out of 100. In fact, you don't even have to look at the questions. If I filled in all letter B, just filled in B on all 100 questions and turned it in, I could turn that paper in a minute. And on average, my score would be 25%. So George Bush's score was, on average, the same that would be gotten by a monkey or by filling it out randomly. And yet, he got into his class over hundreds in Texas and indeed beat out 100,000 people who were trying to get into the National Guard nationwide. Now, I don't blame people, frankly, who wanted to get into the National Guard to avoid the draft. It was a gruesome war, Vietnam. It was one we shouldn't have fought. In fact, tomorrow we're going to talk in detail about Iraq and how in many ways Iraq is starting to mirror Vietnam. I hope you'll come tune into my broadcast tomorrow there. But what my question is, and I'm going to go into this hour, we're going to go into the facts of Bush's service. It's important that you know, I should say lack of service. It's important that you know the facts because people are not giving up on this Vietnam issue. And also talk about Kerry's. And my question to you is, one, does it matter? And two, how can the Republicans bring this issue up at all? I mean, have they no shame? Have they no shame? You would think they would say, well, different people made different choices in Vietnam. Let's move on and talk about the present day. And frankly, I can understand that argument. I mean, they don't want to talk about it. I understand that. And let's talk about Iraq. Let's talk about education and healthcare and jobs and all the things that really matter to people. And yet, they keep bringing it up. It's almost like a macho thing. It's like they can't handle the fact that the Democrat was more macho, risked his life, was more of a hero, wounded in battle 3 times, and their guy was running, hiding, getting deferments, using his father's power, and then not even showing up after hundreds of thousands of dollars were spent on Bush's training. He refused to show up as a pilot. He was ordered to show up to fly the planes. He said no. I don't want to fly anymore. I don't have to. I'm George W. Bush. And, of course, there are express orders that, required him to serve that he violated. And, by the way, all of this is going to be on my website at RadioInsideScoop.com. I'm going to reprint an old article that I did back a couple months ago when this issue first came up. It's got all the details, all the links. It'll be done by the end of this show. But it shows you exactly what George Bush did or didn't do during Vietnam. But again, I want to encourage you to call in. If you call in early, you're more likely to get on the air. A lot of times people call in near the end of the hour, and then I can't reach everybody. But let me know what you think. Why are the Republicans bringing this up? I don't know that anyone has an easy answer to this, but do you think it's relevant? What Kerry did in Vietnam, what Bush did in Vietnam, do you think the press is making too much of this? Do you think the candidates are making too much of this? You know, why is it important what Kerry did after Vietnam? I'll tell you why I think it's important. I think that Kerry actually showed a real strong heroism in Vietnam, and even more so after he came home. You know, there's a lot more heroism than serving your country and even risking death for your country. If you again go to my website, RadioInsideScoop.com, and check out the poem I wrote yesterday, "Reflections on Red and Blue America," I talk about the difference between hero. A Republican hero and a hero like John Kerry, who not only risked his life, but But then came home and did the stronger thing. He turned around and he said, you know what? This war is wrong. And who wants to be the last person to tell a man or a woman that he or she died in vain in the military? And we've got to stop this war. It's a useless war. We're losing lives. It doesn't make sense. And for that, the Republicans are now calling him Hanoi John. Calling him Hanoi John after, of course, Jane Fonda. They used to call Hanoi Jane. Jane Fonda, I think, made a mistake in attacking the war. She really did something she shouldn't have done. She went to Hanoi, the capital of North Vietnam, and sort of shown herself, I think, in league with the enemy. I think the answer is you could oppose the war in Vietnam without in any way being linked to North Vietnam. North Vietnam was a bad country. The country we're defending, South Vietnam, was a bad country. Kind of like what we're doing in Iraq now. The guy we got rid of, Saddam Hussein, is a bad guy. And yet, what are we replacing him with? We're sending the same army that he had, the Ba'ath officials, in. We're doing, unfortunately, in a lot of American prisons, a lot of the same torture and humiliation that happened during the Vietnam War. We are fighting bad with more bad. And what John Kerry said after Vietnam was, look, it's a bad war. And what did he do? He took his ribbons or his medals. I think they were his ribbons. Who cares, folks? Does anyone care? But he took a piece of the decorations that he won and he threw them on the Capitol steps. And did so, I think, to make a very strong point, or make a very public point, that medals are worthy when they're received. I mean, I don't know. What do you think? I think medals are worthy, I guess, whether they're received fighting a just war or an unjust war, maybe. I don't know. It's a hard question. But, I mean, clearly he risked his life for his country, and that's to be praised. But I think John Kerry's point was broader than that, that if he's going to win these medals in a war that's unjust, then maybe it's not about the medals. Maybe it's about the war. Maybe it's about American lives. And yet, the Republicans are trying to make this huge deal out of it. And I don't get it. What is it about the conservative mentality? And all this week, we're talking about mentality. We're not just talking about facts. All this week is sort of philosophy week here at the Inside Scoop. We're talking about the way liberals think and the way conservatives think. And again, the poem on my website, radioinsidescoop.com, I think crystallizes it. But what is it about a conservative mentality that can't admit they're wrong? That says, you know what, all right, we said we were going to go into Iraq because of weapons of mass destruction, but, well, that's all gone. But now we're there, and so we have to stay there. Or now we're in Vietnam. Maybe we went there for the right reasons, to help protect against communism. Maybe it wasn't the right reasons, but now we've got to stay. What is it? You know, it struck me that that George Bush, that he sees things, I don't know, very simplistically, in the sense that it's all black or white to him. And for him, somehow, I don't know, is it a lie? Is he lying to himself? Is George Bush saying, I really did serve my country because I used my daddy's power to get my deferment, and I went to the National Guard? Do you think he really thinks that he, you know, protected our country from the Viet Cong in case they were going to invade Galveston, Texas, and he really thinks of himself as a hero? Do you think he knows at the back of his mind that really, you know, he didn't do much, and that even when he went into the National Guard, that, you know, not showing up was a big deal? Why are they raising this issue? I want to hear from you. The number is 877-57-SCOOP. Please call in. We appreciate your calls. 877-57-SCOOP. You can also email me by sending an email to Mark, M-A-R-K, at RadioInsideScoop.com. And my question is, why is the war in Vietnam still being brought up in the press today? Is it relevant at all? And if it is, how can the Republicans bring it up? Do they not realize their hypocrisy? Is anyone buying this? Do you think anyone's buying that Kerry really isn't a war hero? Let me know what you think. The number's 877-57-SCOOP, 877-57-SCOOP. We'll be back with more of the Inside Scoop right after these messages.
It's time to make the Republicans quit. Gather
Alan Greenspan was a medical doctor, he'd be considered a dangerous quack, and his license to practice would have been yanked long ago. Instead, he's an economist, the unelected head of America's monetary system, and his quackery is not only tolerated but lauded by the powers that be, who've been using him to bilk the middle class. Greenspan's trail of quackery begins back in 1983, when he chaired a commission that persuaded Congress to raise the Social Security taxes of working folks. This radical surgery was necessary, Alan said, to create a surplus to assure that future retirees would get the benefits they're due. Quack. But instead of locking these surpluses away for future retirees, Greenspan left them open to raids by any president needing a quick pile of cash for a pet political project. The latest to make the raid is George W., who dove headfirst into our Social Security surplus to pull out the billions he needed to pay for his tax giveaways to the rich. Greenspan himself told Congress that such tax cuts were necessary to, believe it or not, prevent the buildup of government surpluses. Even though the bulk of the tax giveaways went to the richest people, Greenspan promised that this would not harm working families counting on their Social Security benefits for their retirement. Quack, quack. Just recently, the quack was back, urgently telling Congress that because of out-of-control budget deficits, Congress must now slash Social Security payouts as soon as possible. He urged that every retiree's benefits be cut and that the retirement age be raised. Quack, quack, quack. In his 20 years of practicing economic voodoo, here's what the mad doctor has achieved. Working people had their Social Security taxes raised so rich people could have their income taxes slashed, which he now says means that working people must have their Social Security payments cut. This is Jim Hightower saying, this quack has done enough harm. It's time to yank his license.
Federal college loan rates are currently lower than they have ever been, which means by refinancing now, you could cut your monthly student loan payment by up to 50%. By calling 1-800-2-COLLEGE, you'll quickly be connected to College Loan Corporation. We will answer your questions, help you lower your payments, and secure a rate as low as 2.63%. It's easy, it's free, and so far, over 300,000 people have called. 1-800-2-COLLEGE. It's the smartest call you can make.
It's a wild day here at the stock market. Let's talk to some traders. How you doing?
I'm taking a shelling, but I'm still gelling.
Okay, and how about you?
I'm gelling and selling. Gelling and selling.
My trades are smelling.
Mine too, but who cares?
We're gelling.
Are you gelling yet? Dr. Scholl's massaging gel insoles are made from the softest gel ever created. If you and your feet don't feel outrageously comfortable, you get your money back, guaranteed. Are you gelling? Dr. Scholl's.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. This is your host, Mark Levine, and it is Election Tuesday. We're talking about the election, talking about Bush and Kerry, and talking about the fact that everyone keeps talking about Vietnam. What is it about Vietnam that keeps being, important to everyone? And my question is, when you got a clear war hero that you have in John Kerry, and you got a clear, he may not say it's clear, but I think it's clear that George Bush was AWOL, and we can talk about the facts that show he was AWOL. Why is it that the Republicans dare to bring this up and actually criticize John Kerry's service? I mean, isn't that chutzpah? Isn't that audacity to go and take this war hero and try to take him down when your own guy went AWOL? Didn't even follow his orders to appear at a place? You know, what is it? What is it about them doing this? I don't understand it. I don't know why they dare bring it up, but as far as I'm concerned, it's an issue that helps the Democrats. So I say, if you want to talk about Vietnam, bring it on. The number is 877-57-SCOOP, 877-57-SCOOP. You can also email me by sending an email to Mark, M-A-R-K, at RadioInsideScoop.com. Caller, you're on the air with Mark Levine. What's your first name and where are you from?
This is Ed from New York.
Hi, Ed. How are you?
Well, I kept thinking about the question you asked, why the Republicans are bringing this up. And I think the answer is pretty simple. The Republicans traditionally have been a party which consider themselves pro-gun and pro-macho.
Yeah.
And because of their pro-gun standing, they figured they could bring veterans to their side of the table. The problem is John Kerry got the Silver Star. He risked his life to save a man. And he got three, not one, not two, but three Purple Hearts for being wounded. And George Bush, well, all I can say about him is that he ended up taking time off when he shouldn't have.
You know, I think it's the facts are against him. It kind of reminds me of a big bully that goes around and picks on everybody, and then tries to pick on someone who's very strong, and but still just goes out and picks a fight almost because they're used to it. But I mean, isn't this clearly a political mistake on their part? I think so.
Well, I'm not so sure it's a political mistake. The Republicans have traditionally gotten the votes of the NRA, the National Rifle Association.
Right, all true. Veterans, that's all true.
And they're trying, and these are groups of people that they're trying to get again. And in order to do that, they're attempting to show their macho image. I'm not even sure that's not part of the reason why they went into Iraq in the first place. To show their macho.
Maybe so, but is anyone fooled by this? I guess some people are. Hey, Ed, thanks very much for your call. I want to get to another caller on the air. Thanks. Caller, you're on the air with Mark Levine. What's your first name and where are you from?
Yeah, this is Gordon from Michigan.
Hi, Gordon from Michigan. How are you?
I'm all right. I think you've been cutting to the basic choice we have in this election. It's a choice between honor and dishonor. And it's pretty well. I'm a Vietnam vet. I've got about 50 some firefights under my belt in a tour of duty, and I got a few medals too. And speaking on behalf of Vietnam veterans who have seen combat, and all combat veterans for that matter, I think our leaders who have been in combat, who know the real experience of war, have a respect for war, and I think that's a real big choice we have right now. I think it's been pretty obvious that George Bush has no respect for war. He doesn't understand the real blood and guts kind of reaction that combat's all about and the sacrifice that that's about.
Gordon, let me ask you a question. The Republicans think that they can get a lot of political hay over the fact that John Kerry came back from the war after getting wing wounded three times, getting three medals, and then, of course, worked very hard to oppose the Vietnam War. As a Vietnam vet yourself, and not just speaking for yourself, but for other vets that you know, do you think that people saw John Kerry? I think we can all agree he showed courageous actions during the war, but do you think that vets see him coming back and opposing the war as something that was courageous or something that was unpatriotic? What do you think?
Well, I can't speak. I'm not going to speak for other people.
I know,
speak
but
for myself.
Speak for yourself, and then
because
it,
you have conflicting ideas on that. But I can. I was there '69-'70 towards the tail end of major combat there.
Yeah.
And the sentiment was that we got what the real deal was. That basically. Up front line combat guys were hostages of their own country. And, we were thinking, well, maybe we are going to be the last guys going to be killed over here. But it didn't go that way. A couple more years of major action.
But let me ask you this. Is John Kerry, I mean, I don't know, and I'm too young to get around
Kerry then. Kerry is more of a hero to me.
See, I think so, too.
He stood up and said, yeah, this is what it's all about. It's all BS. And we have to tell the world, we have to tell our country how wrong we are, and we have to tell everybody what the real deal is.
See, you know, it really strikes me that you could be of four minds, I guess, if you were a Vietnam age. You could either support the war and go fight it. You could be against the war and go fight it. You could be against the war and avoid service, or you could support the war and avoid service. And it seems to me that clearly the most cowardly thing, the worst thing to do, would be to support the war and avoid service. I mean, Bill Clinton, and it's got to be said, he tried to get out of service. It turns out he was never drafted. He didn't take any, you know, it's funny, they called him a draft dodger, but of course he was never drafted.
Well, regular Army guys, we had words for all National Guardsmen.
And what were those words? Can you say it?
It was shammers, pogues. Yeah. Along that line, and we didn't have to get into cowardice at all, because they wouldn't even know what cowardice is, because they hadn't seen combat.
I guess what strikes me is that if you were genuinely opposed to the war and working hard to stop it, then you know, and then avoided service, I guess that bothers me less than someone like George Bush, who supported the war as much as he had any political thoughts, you know, while he was busy drinking and on drugs in those days, supported the war but felt other people should fight it. To me, I would think we could all agree, whether you supported the war or not, whether you served in Vietnam or not, that is the lowest of the low, isn't it? To support a war but then not yourself want to risk your life to fight it?
Extreme dishonor, and that's why the choice is so blatant this time. We're talking about extreme honor versus extreme dishonor.
Okay.
And the fact that the Republicans think they can get away with this is just so scary that they think they can fool the American people. We got to stand up and say, no, you can't. Not this time. We can't afford this kind of discrepancy of intelligence. I mean, we just, as Americans, we should hang our head in shame if this guy gets elected.
I agree with you. I tell you, usually I'm pretty good at predicting politics. That's what I do. I'm here in Washington, and I see all the political actors, and Karl Rove is certainly a very clever guy. I think he's horrible, but he's certainly a very clever tactician. And, well, I guess this one threw me for a loop. I thought the Republicans would do their best to avoid Vietnam at all costs. They got, again, the worst possible, which is, you know, someone who supported the war and didn't fight, going against the best possible, someone who didn't support the war and did fight. And yet, I just see it. And day after day, did Kerry throw medals or did he throw ribbons? You know, maybe he was, instead of being wounded three times, he was really only wounded twice, and the third wound wasn't a deep flesh wound. They really want to make these arguments, and yet they're doing it. It's a Saturday Night Live episode, but they're doing it. It's in the paper. Well, his third wound wasn't as severe as his other two. He only deserved two Purple Hearts and not three. I can't fathom, and I'd love it if one of you conservatives who listen in would call in at 877-57-SCOOP and let me know what the Republicans hope to achieve by this. I think it's a real losing strategy.
Oh, the spinners on this got to be fired.
Well, yeah, I think so. And, you know, but I say if they want to go to Vietnam, you know, bring it on.
They're just speaking to their own voter base, and they're just insulting their intelligence, thinking, well, it doesn't even matter. That's just scary.
But even their own voter base, I mean, at some point, you've got to realize the difference between these two guys, right? I'm at a loss. That's why I wanted to explore it here today on Election Tuesday. Hey, thanks so much for your call, Gordon, and thank you for your service to your country. I really appreciate that. All right, let me go to you, caller. You're on the air with Mark Levine. What's your first name and where are you from?
Hi, Mark. This is Kevin in Tampa.
Hi, Kevin in Tampa. How are you? Can you help me out here? Why are the Republicans bringing up this issue when it seems to me, at least, it's a clear loser for them?
It's the sheer height of hypocrisy, and I think you hit on this something when you mentioned about being bullies.
Yeah.
I think this is George Bush. If I'm sure you have, most of your listeners, I hope, have too, read Molly Ivins' book, Shrub.
I've read a lot of it. I haven't read the entire book, but I love Molly Ivins.
Well, it's very obvious from the book that since he was a kid, George Bush is a spoiled little rich bully.
Yep.
Brat.
Yep.
And he was bailed out of everything his entire life. He has no successes in his life ever except becoming president, and he could only do that by a bloodless coup d'etat.
Yeah, by the Supreme Court. And you're absolutely right, and I've done programs on this, and actually I'm revising my website, so hopefully you'll be able to search in the archives. But whether you look at Harkin Energy, where he ran that into the ground, or you look at
Busho or whatever.
Arbusto.
Oil company he had.
Right, exactly. Everyone he ran into the ground, it took, you know, hundreds of millions of Saudi money and other corrupt money to get him out, and he just goes on to the next thing. He's like the prodigal prince, I guess you might say. Prince, not because he's a prince, but because, you know, it's like he's royalty, and he can do no wrong.
I'll tell you this also. If you look at what happened for the first time in his life, in the fall of 02 and the spring of 03, people actually stood up to him and say no. And by that I mean the French government, the German government, the Russian government.
Yep.
They stood up to him and said no. And look how he reacted. He had tantrums. He had public temper tantrums.
He did. That's exactly right. He had a temper tantrum.
And he just spoiled brat.
You know,
Now they think that they can do this with the American public. I think it's going to backfire.
Well, I sure hope so.
And everybody, including you, and you're there with all these people there in Washington, I think you're giving too much damn credit to Karl Rove. He's an idiot. He didn't win no election in 2000. He only got there because I'm down here in Florida. He only did that. They only were in office because Catherine Harris did her dirty work, and Jeb and Catherine stole it with the help of the Supreme Court.
Well, Kevin, I agree with you and I disagree with you. You're absolutely right that the only reason Bush got in is because of Catherine Harris and Jeb Bush and all the African Americans who took off the voter rolls and all the intimidation and all the failure to recount and all those laws they broke. I think Catherine Harris should be in jail. No question about it.
Uh-huh.
But I don't. I guess I don't agree with you that Karl Rove is an idiot.
Well, tell me what else he's done.
Well, let me tell you some things he's done.
Look at this.
Yeah.
If there's no way that this guy should be in office now and not have a big lead in the polls. And look at the trouble he's in.
Well, I think he's
in big trouble. In fact, I know a lot of people don't want to say this, and it's actually very dangerous to say this. This election, I think, is going to go either one of two ways. It is either going to be a nail biter like last time, or Kerry's going to win big. And the reason I say that is this. I have not met yet one person. Now, I don't meet that many people in this, okay? But I don't know one person that has told me that they were going to vote for Bush.
Oh, I do, but maybe that's because I live in Washington.
Well,
I'm surrounded by people who are paid to be conservatives. Right. Well, that's good news, Kevin. Listen, obviously I hope it's a landslide, because I fear that if it's not a landslide, if it is another nail biter, they're going to cheat again. You still got Jeb Bush down there. You still got,
a little difference between this year, though, and 2000.
You think they won't be able to do it again?
The Democratic Party is preparing an army of attorneys and watchers for every place where there could be a problem.
Well, I'm going to join them.
Both here in Florida and in other places. They're going to have them in Tennessee. They're going to have them in New Mexico. They're going to have them wherever they think that there could be a problem.
You know, Kevin, I actually tried to go down and work as an election attorney in 2000 in Florida. And I joke, hey, if Al Gore, if he'd only hired me, he'd be president today. But I'll tell you, what I would have liked to have seen down there, and I remember when it was happening, this is really how I got my start doing political commentary, was because of that horrendous Supreme Court decision. But I remember watching when December 9th came down, and those blue-haired ladies and all those Florida rooms, they're busy counting the votes. For the first time, these votes are going to be counted. Scalia's order comes down and says, you can't count the votes. To count the votes would cast a cloud on the legitimacy of Bush's claim to have won. And I remember reading that opinion and waiting for some blue-haired lady to do what Yeltsin did, stand on a tank, you know, grab a voter box, stand on a table and say, the whole world's watching. Scalia can't stop democracy. Keep counting, ladies. And make the police come in and rip the ballots out of the hand of these 60-year-old women and men. You know, a little bit of exaggeration, but they tend to be elderly people. You know, all these ordinary Americans just trying to protect democracy, just trying to count the votes. And I just would have loved to have seen, you know, they send the police in, send thousands of ordinary Americans to jail for trying to protect democracy. And I'll tell you this, that I think might well, if there had been a little more civil disobedience, that might well have convinced the Supreme Court not to break the law and install Bush. And I hope that you down in Florida, Kevin, you're talking about ground zero. You are right there in the middle of it. Are you going to work and help, phone banks?
I'm working through Democracy for America Dean's group.
Terrific, terrific.
And I will do whatever. I have a son, right, a 21-year-old son who is in Baghdad right now.
Oh, my God.
He ran into the reserves for money for school.
Sure. Oh, no.
And he's been there since February 1st. He drives a Humvee through the streets of Baghdad that does not have the armored doors.
Oh, no.
I've contacted my congressman who is a...
You know, that came up specifically. I remember when that came up. That came up when I worked in Congress. That's already more than a year ago now. And it came up, and Bush said no. He didn't want the armored doors. It was too much. He wanted his tax cut.
I've got one of these 20-year right-wing Republican congressmen. And
who's your congressman?
Bill Arrakis.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, I mean, the guy's a liar. What is amazing is he did contact me after my contact, and he sent me some stuff where he had talked to the Army about it, you know, political stuff that they sent out.
Why don't they pass a law requiring it? It's that simple. You know, the Republicans control Congress. Tom DeLay wants something on the docket. He can get it there tomorrow. It's that simple. You tell Bill Arrakis, hey, I know you can get that bill on the floor tomorrow if you want it, if you care about my son who's in it.
One last thing before I go, Mark, and you and your listeners might like to hear this. My son told me on the phone, he hasn't called for about a month, but he does call once in a while. He told me that Bush will not, of the people he knows in Baghdad, Bush will not win the military vote in Iraq.
Well, I'll tell you something. That, I think, would be crucial, because obviously that's what helped him in 2000. I think
you got to remember, they are reserves there. They are not regular.
Right. That's a great point. Hey, Kevin, we're going to talk exclusively about Iraq tomorrow. I hope you'll tune in then and maybe call in then.
Okay.
All right. Thanks again for your call.
Okay,
we got to go to a break. If you want to call in, the number is 877-57-SCOOP, 877-57-SCOOP. It's a toll-free number. It's also 877-577-2667. Those of you that like numbers better than letters. You can also email me by sending an email to Mark, M-A-R-K, at RadioInsideScoop.com. Call in. Tell me how you think the election is affecting you. I mean, what is it that's going to make your decision? Why are you voting for Kerry? Why are you voting for Bush? If any of you Bush supporters are listening to me, I'd like to hear someone defend it. And do you think that all this Vietnam stuff, why are the Republicans bringing it up? I can't fathom it. Again, 877-57-SCOOP. We'll be back with more of the Inside Scoop on this Election Tuesday as we try to kick out the Republicans, as the song says, right after these messages.
They counted the votes in a web of deception. The GOP stole the election.
This is WINS, the Workers' Independent News. This is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm Sarah Turner. Negotiations for a new 3-year contract continue between the Writers Guild of America and the Alliance of Motion Picture and Television Producers. In 1984, when the video cassette market was in its infancy, talent guilds agreed to exclude 80% of revenues when calculating their share of profits. Now DVD sales, more than $22 billion in 2003, are projected to exceed VHS, and studios are claiming any pay increases will bankrupt the industry. Also in dispute is the amount companies pay for healthcare coverage and reality TV, the bulk of which is produced by non-union labor.
Democrats in Congress today unveil a counterproposal to George W. Bush's plan to create an immigrant guest worker program. Whereas the White House seeks to provide temporary resident status, the Democratic plan would offer permanent citizenship to any currently undocumented worker who's been in the U.S. for 5 years or more and has worked full-time for at least 2 of those years. In exchange, the Democrats would reduce the number of guest workers allowed into the country. Neither bill, however, is likely to clear Capitol Hill before the November election.
On May Day, 300 trade unionists in Thailand stormed the government house, calling for an increase to the minimum wage, better protection for workers trying to unionize, and the removal of Thai troops from Iraq.
The Canadian province of British Columbia nearly experienced a general strike in the public sector yesterday as 100,000 workers in various government agencies prepared to stop work in support of BC hospital staff. 43,000 healthcare workers walked off the job last week when contract talks with the provincial health authority broke down. Key to the dispute were government demands for a retroactive wage reduction and more latitude for the outsourcing of hospital support staff. The BC legislature passed an emergency back-to-work law last Thursday, but the strike continued until Sunday. That prompted the larger walkout threat, which was only averted when the province backed down on the retroactive pay cut and agreed to limits on future outsourcing. Even so, hospital support staff will take a 15% wage decrease over the term of the new deal, and many are wearing black this week to mourn the mixed outcome.
Here's today's Dow Bob Report. A new study in the Journal of Urban Economics found that city dwellers living close to a National Football League franchise pay higher rent and property taxes for that privilege. On average, a resident in an NFL city pays $184 a year, or 8% more than those without a football team. And researchers found total property taxes were about $50 million a year higher.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
We're back here on the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine, singing Kick Out the Republicans. That's a song by Donnie Daly, a listener in Los Angeles, and we play it every Election Tuesday as we talk about election news, what's going on in the Bush and Kerry race, why people are considering voting for one or the other, and what's going on specifically this week in all the talk about Vietnam. How is it that the Republicans actually believe that by comparing Bush's record and Kerry's record, they're going to come out anywhere ahead? I don't get it. I want to know what you think. The number is 877-57-SCOOP, 877-57-SCOOP. You can also email me by sending an email to Mark, M-A-R-K, at RadioInsideScoop.com. And I want to read some of your emails here. I got an email from Skyler from Paris. I don't know if that's Paris, Texas, or Paris, France, but again, and they're trying to address my question of why the Republicans would raise this issue. Skyler writes, "Hi, Mark. The only thing I can think of is this. The Republicans have shown a clear trend for duping the American public by literally taking them for idiots. The sad thing is that it works. People have shown the blind faith necessary for Bush's plan to be able to get away with his blatant lies. By conjuring up an image of Kerry as a fervent, gung-ho military guy, just maybe the Republicans are timing this stunt to coincide with the national epiphany currently erupting in regard to the horrific reality in Iraq, like those brutalized prisoners or the amount of innocent Iraqis we killed. People just might associate Kerry with those atrocities." You know, that's really interesting. I don't know that that's their reason. It's an interesting point, Skyler. Kerry did testify after the war in Vietnam that there were some atrocities committed by some military forces, things like free fire zones. Many of us know about the My Lai massacre. There were some horrible things our troops did in Vietnam. In fact, one of the main things that the Republicans are complaining about Kerry is that he mentioned these atrocities as if somehow, you know, we should never try to mention when our troops commit atrocities, when they, you know, kill innocent civilians and so forth. And yet, I think what's going on in Iraq right now shows that Kerry was right then, just as reporters are right now in pointing it out. And we're going to talk more about the atrocities tomorrow when we devote the entire show to what's going on in Iraq and to what people are thinking about it. But, you know, Kerry, it's kind of hard to associate him with those atrocities when he brought them to people's attention. Now, at one point, Kerry did say, and I'm sure he's even said today he regrets saying it, that, you know, back 30 years ago, he said that he was involved in these atrocities. You know, he was under orders to do things like free fire zone. Maybe that's what the Republicans are trying to do, trying to take his words out of context and use it against him. But Skylar writes, yes, people could fall for actually associating Kerry with the current Iraq atrocities. The proof is that the people have fallen for Bush's incredibly blatant BS every time, so why not play the trend? I like the one solution of letting the Iraqis vote after June 30th. We gave them the democratic vote we promised and asked them to decide what we should do. When they say leave, we can exit with a shred of dignity. Ha ha. Well, again, that's an issue for tomorrow, and we will approach that, talking about the June 30th. Suppose that we're going to transfer, but I don't know who we're transferring it to. Again, though, Bush and Kerry. Let me go to Amy. Amy sent an email. She said, why do the neocons pick on Kerry the way they do? Medals or ribbons? Which one is it? Who cares is right. I agree with you, Mark. I have also come to the conclusion that Republicans have to focus on the minutia because they cannot stand on their principles or record. I like to refer to what they are doing as picking excrement, not to use the word that Amy said, picking gnat excrement out of pepper. Hope I didn't offend. Keep up the good work, Amy. Well, you know, I think that's what they do. You know, I remember back in 2000 when they would talk about Al Gore and they would say, Al Gore claimed to invent the Internet, which he never did, by the way. Al Gore instead claimed to have played a major role in helping the government give the government infrastructure we needed then and we need today to make the Internet work so that it gets outside of universities and military uses, and yet they claim that Al Gore wanted to invent the Internet. So I think you're absolutely right, Amy. They try to use minutia, making it up if they have to, and try to trick people. But do you think it's working? Again, the number is 877-57-SCOOP. You know your neighbors. You know your friends. You know your conservative neighbors and friends. Are they buying it? Are they the kind of – I mean, I want to explore this week philosophy, the way people think, not just the facts. I mean, I want to give you a little bit of the facts, make sure you know them. You should know, as I said, that John Kerry actually was on a boat in the Mekong Delta, on a boat on a river. They call it a swift boat, but Vietnam vets will tell you it was actually very slow. And the whole purpose of this boat, which sort of chug-a-lugged along, was to draw fire from the Viet Cong so that they could do some other operation in some other area. He was literally a sitting duck. Literally, I mean, and 75% of everyone that took this job got injured. And John Kerry took that job, even though he didn't believe in the war. And the Bush people are trying to say he's not a hero when we've got George Bush, who not only used all kinds of daddy's preferments and deferments and preferences and everything he could possibly do not to go to Vietnam, to go in the National Guard, and then quit being a pilot. Refused to be a pilot. Why? Because he wouldn't take a medical exam that included a drug test. Now, again, I brought this out 2 months ago. It's gotten very little press. It's very important to let your friends know. The very first medical exam that required a drug test is the one that Bush refused to take. And Helen Thomas, and again, now this is all on my website, radioinsidescoop.com. It may not be on my new website yet, but I'll make sure it's there by the end of the day. Helen Thomas, veteran reporter, was talking with Press Secretary Scott McClellan, asking him, hey, what about this idea, this suggestion that Bush was actually convicted of cocaine use? Bush has said that he has not used cocaine in the last, I believe it's 30 years. He hasn't done it since 1974. He will not say whether he did cocaine before 74, but we know that at the same time George Bush was missing service in the National Guard, he was doing community service. Now, as we've talked about, this rich kid, he's not someone who regularly does community service. This is not someone who ever took time out to care for the poor, but community service was something that they had you do a lot of times when you had a drug conviction. So for all this talk about what John Kerry did 30 years ago, why is it that no one in the press is asking George Bush a very simple question? Sir, have you ever been arrested for possession of cocaine? It's a simple question, and it can give a simple yes or no answer. And if Bush wants to say, I refuse to answer that on the grounds that it may incriminate me, let him say it. I'll tell you this. I actually talked with Matt Drudge about this. Remember Matt Drudge? I'm sure you know who he is. He's the conservative muckraker. He's the guy that was talking about Kerry having an affair. He has the website. The Drudge Report brings up all this scurrilous stuff. He's the guy that first brought up Monica Lewinsky. He brings up stuff, whether true or false. He's the first guy to bring it out. He told me And again, this is his direct from his words, all right? This is not email. This is him speaking right to me that in the year 2000, everyone said, who's going to bring up the cocaine question? Who's going to bring up the cocaine question? And no one ever did. And listen, let me be clear. I'm speaking as someone who thinks that we punish drug offenders way too much in this country. I say if you're a nonviolent drug offender, you need treatment, not jail. But George Bush supports jail for drug offenders, certainly poor people, you know, who use crack rather than rich people like his friends that use cocaine. They can go to jail for 5 to 7 years. He's clearly a hypocrite on this. If they're gonna bring up John Kerry's past 30 years ago, which I actually think was an honorable past, why won't they bring up Bush's? Why won't they talk about why won't anyone except me talk about the possibility that George Bush has a cocaine conviction? It all makes sense. He refuses to say whether he did the drug before 74. He did this strange community service, and he did it at a time when he refused to take a drug test and wouldn't show up in the National Guard. It all makes it clear. It all comes clear that there's probably, in my view, a cocaine conviction that was expunged. And the easiest way to get to it is not the court records, because they've been expunged, is to simply ask George Bush, how many times have you been arrested? We know about the time you stole the Christmas wreath. We know about the time you got in fighting at the stadium back in college. We know about the drunk driving conviction now, though Karen Hughes lied about it in the election of 2000. Is there any other time you've been arrested? Or more specifically, George Bush, have you ever used illegal substances? Al Gore, when he ran for office, admitted that he used marijuana. He told the truth, and everyone moved on. Why is it that the press is entirely focusing on Kerry? Is it because, oh, he's the challenger, and therefore he's got to explain himself? What do you think? The number is 877-57-SCOOP. If we're going to talk about what happened 30 years ago, shouldn't they mention the cocaine conviction? 877-57-SCOOP. You can also email me by sending an email to Mark, M-A-R-K, at RadioInsideScoop.com. I'll be back to conclude the show, read a couple emails, take a call, and just reminding you again, this is Election Tuesday. Have you contributed? I don't work for the Kerry campaign, but if you can contribute, if you can help out, I got to tell you, we need all the help we can get. I think it's going to be a close election. I really do. We'll be back with more of the Inside Scoop right after this.
Job growth surges in March, blared the headlines, and what a rose-colored rush of self-congratulation ensued. George W. gloated like the boy who stuck in his thumb and pulled out a plum. Economists were high-fiving each other. Editorialists hailed the new boom, and you'd have thought the bluebird of happiness was singing in every backyard. But even as Bush strutted atop a made-for-TV platform that his staff had emblazoned with the slogan, Strengthening America's Economy, the whole scene had a false feel to it, eerily similar to George's strut in his Top Gun costume last year aboard that aircraft carrier that his staff had emblazoned with the declaration, Mission Accomplished in Iraq. Just as our troops are still mired in that bloody war, so are most Americans still mired in a low-wage economy that can't be fixed by presidential strut. For the powers that be to celebrate the addition of 300,000 jobs is ludicrous in an economy that has lost more than 2 million jobs since Bush took office and that continues to offshore our best-paying jobs. If you peek beneath the headlines, you'll find that the number of out-of-work Americans actually went up by 200,000 in March, and the number of underemployed, those wanting full-time work but only getting part-time jobs, was up by 300,000. Also, of the ballyhooed new jobs that Bush claims to have created in March, nearly 50,000 are not new at all. They're the jobs of California supermarket workers who had been on strike and have now returned to their old jobs. Worse, what Bush and the powers that be don't want us noticing is that nearly all of March's job creation was in low-wage, no-benefit work that cannot sustain a middle-class way of life. Indeed, despite the gloating over March's job stats, average weekly earnings went down in March. This is Jim Hightower saying, the real issue is not job numbers, but the decline in good jobs, the very lifeblood of America's middle class.
Federal college loan rates are currently lower than they have ever been, which means by refinancing now, you could cut your monthly student loan payment by up to 50%. By calling 1-800-2-COLLEGE, you'll quickly be connected to College Loan Corporation. We will answer your questions, help you lower your payments, and secure a rate as low as 2.63%. It's easy, it's free, and so far, over 300,000 people have called. 1-800-2-COLLEGE. It's the smartest call you can make.
While you can't see brilliant colors on the radio, you can use them in your business. That's why the Xerox WorkCenter M24 digital color copier printer is attractive to anyone who listens to the voice of reason. The lease price is a low $189 a month. You get brilliant Xerox color for less than 9 cents a page, plus the Xerox Total Satisfaction Guarantee. To get all the colors you can't see on the radio, do the most reasonable thing.
Call 1-800-ASK-XEROX for business lease details. Additional per copy charge.
Bush says he cares about the middle class, but the giant corporations get all the cash. We got a $500 billion deficit. It's time to make the Republicans quit.
Welcome back to Mark Levine's Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine. On this Election Tuesday, we've got the special music from Donnie Daly in Los Angeles telling us to kick out the Republicans. And we've been talking all this hour about the difference between Bush and Kerry in Vietnam. The difference is obvious. The question is, why do the Republicans bring this up? Don't they know better? Don't they know this is a losing issue for them? I got some emails. MMJ writes, the enemy in Vietnam and the enemy in Iraq are one and the same, a relentless military-industrial complex. Both times more interested in testing weapon systems and goofy belligerent theories than anything related to the defense of the United States and her citizens. As to harping about Kerry, these creeps are trying to rewrite history. They must brainwash younger Americans into believing the war was lost because the military was kept from winning it, though we could have nuked them theory, and those who fought against it were wrong-minded traitors. 90% of us be damned. MMJ also writes that she's been had a long drive on Sunday, spent time pushing buttons, one radio station after another, Bill O'Reilly, Christian commentator, Sean Hannity, and Rush. There is an orchestrated campaign of mind control. They have masses of Americans under their thumbs, and they plan to keep it that way. Constant brainwashing is no doubt a rogue technique, although one that he learned from Mein Kampf. Back to Vietnam. Anyone who graduated from high school after 1970 might just owe their existence to Kerry and the other really brave Americans who resisted the nationalistic urge that the military-industrial complex relies on. Francine writes a quick note about Bush. She notes, and I think it's a good point, that during one of the presidential debates, George Bush said, "We are not the peacekeepers of the world," and said he would bring troops home from around the world. Maybe that's why he got the vote. He did say that we would not be nation builders, and then he went out to try to build nations out of scratch. Look, we're going to talk in detail about Iraq tomorrow. There is so much to talk about, whether you're talking about the torture, the humiliation, the things that the American troops have done to certain Iraqis, whether it's talking about what's going on in Fallujah, the fact that we're sending former Saddam Hussein army people in to clean out the city. Is that a good idea? Talking about sovereignty. George Bush says they're going to get sovereignty after July 1st, but the Iraqis aren't going to be allowed to vote, and they're not going to be allowed to control the government, and they're not going to be allowed to make laws, they're not going to be allowed to control the military. So what does sovereignty mean, particularly when we're choosing their flag? And my belief, which may surprise you despite all my criticism in Iraq, that there are no easy answers, that we can't just cut and run, that we're going to look horrible, and that Kerry really has the best idea to get the international community involved, and that's really the only way to get us out of there. But it's going to be a great show tomorrow, and I want very much for you to tune in. If you want to support the Inside Scoop, there's lots of ways to do it. One, if you're listening on RadioPower.org, they rely on their donations. Take a click, give them a donation. The other thing you can do on the Inside Scoop is let people know about my show. If you enjoy what I have to say, tell your friends. Send an email to everyone on your email list. Call your local radio station. Tell them that you need more than Rush and Sean and all the right-wing clones, that you need progressive radio hosts on the air. If each and every one of you listening to my voice would make one call to your local radio station, we would show them that indeed liberals do like talk radio. I can't tell you how many times I talk to program managers and they're like, well, you know, liberals don't listen to talk radio. They listen to jazz. Well, why are we listening to jazz? Maybe it's because there aren't that many liberal talk radio hosts on the air. I mean, I'm on the air here in Washington, and that's it, except for Radio Power, which I'm very thankful for broadcasting me. But if you want to hear me in your car, call your local radio station. The last thing you can do is support our sponsors here at Radio Inside Scoop. I want to tell you about a really terrific sponsor, and that is the makers of Election 2004 cards. You can go to their website, election2004cards.com. This deck of cards is not just a deck of cards. Each and every card mentions one person in the Bush administration. They're really funny. They're funny pictures. They talk about what the members are doing. George Bush, of course, is the dummy. And the interesting thing is it's not just a pack of cards, but it's actually really a fun game. It's got all kinds of rules. You try to control the military, industrial complex. You try to control the media. And if you get to a close election, all you need is the Catherine Harris card and a Justice of the Supreme Court card, and you don't have to count the votes. You win anyway. It's a great game. I just want to recommend that website, election2004cards.com, election2004cards.com. Check it out. Buy some cards. Tell them I sent you. And that's just one other way that you can support the Inside Scoop. Thank you so much, everybody. I've really enjoyed this Election Tuesday. Tune in tomorrow for our special show on Iraq. This is Mark Levine signing off.
It's time to make the Republicans quit. It's a good thing that Saddam was dead.